destroyed. Battleships dismantled, never again to be deployed. And the world breathed a sigh of relief after the revolution. Solar panels were on the rooftops, trains upon the...
This is the Quality News Network. 10 Hezbollah militants were reportedly killed today and 5 others captured when Israel launched a raid at a hospital near the Syrian border. The hospital was reportedly empty of patients at the time of the raid. Israel says it was used as a Hezbollah stronghold. At least 15 Lebanese civilians were also killed in rocket attacks. Also, Hezbollah fired more than 200 rockets into Israel, killing one Israeli and wounding more than 50. Diplomatic efforts to end the fighting are at an impasse as the conflict entered its 22nd day. The UN Security Council said today that a meeting scheduled for tomorrow has been postponed. The delay was prompted by a disagreement between the U.S. and France over when to send in an international peacekeeping force, before or after a ceasefire is called. In Baghdad, scattered violence killed more than 50 people today, including 2 Americans and at least 11 children who were playing soccer. Thousands of Shiites marched through Baghdad today, demanding an end to the violence. Still, Iraqi President Jalal Talabani says Iraqi forces will be able to take over security for all 18 provinces by the end of the year. U.S. forces are now responsible for all but one of the provinces. In Cuba, a statement issued from Fidel Castro's office says his health is stable and spirits good, but he hasn't been seen in public since surgery earlier this week. He's temporarily handed over power to his brother, Raul. In Washington, lawmakers are preparing to offer cash rewards to Cuban dissidents who fight for democracy. The legislation would authorize up to $80 million over 2 years to groups that fight for change. As Tropical Storm Chris approaches, the Bahamas are under hurricane watch. If it turns westward, it would brush through the southern Florida coast over the weekend. Record-breaking heat coupled with humidity continues from St. Louis to Boston, with numerous deaths attributed to the high temperatures. Utility companies say customer demand has reached or is exceeding record highs. 17 Western governors are urging Congress to pass emergency aid legislation. Emergency drought aid legislation. The state leaders say farmers and ranchers, their livestock and crops are all suffering greatly. And the Government Accounting Office reports undercover investigators were able to use fake documents to enter the U.S. They entered through 9 border crossings on both Mexico and Canadian borders. You're listening to QNN.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The FDA will meet with Bayer Pharmaceuticals next week to discuss an application for over-the-counter sales of its morning-after pill, Plan B. A decision could be made within several weeks. AOL says it will give away free email accounts and software. Those services were previously available only to paying customers. Google has struck a deal with XM Satellite Radio. It allows the search engine's advertisers to automatically insert ads on the radio company's non-music channels. U.S. mortgage applications fell last week to their lowest level in more than 4 years. The Mortgage Bankers Association says its seasonally adjusted index of mortgage application activity was down 1.2%. Chrysler is recalling more than 832,000 Jeep Liberty SUVs because of steering problems. The recall covers 2002 through 2006 models. MasterCard reported a second quarter loss of more than $310 million. The company says the loss partly results from charges related to its initial public offering in May. Time Warner, the parent company of AOL, HBO, and CNN, reports a second quarter profit of $1 billion. Last year, the company reported a $400 million loss. Light sweet crude settled at $75.81 today. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 74 points, NASDAQ up 17, S&P 500 up 8. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Agnes, throw another ladle full of water on the hot rocks here in the Head On Radio Network sauna. The westering August sun is beaming through our thermopaned windows here in our remote, undisclosed location. And frankly, I don't think a 20-ton air conditioning unit would cool this room right now.
Global warming.
Thank you, Agnes. This is Wednesday, the Wednesday edition of Head On. Of course, Wednesdays are special around here, and you know what Wednesday means.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
That's right. It's prayer meeting. Oh, I thought I'd start off speaking in a little tongues there, dear. Did you get the gift of prophecy? Do you know what I just said? You can record it and play it backwards, and it's... Well, never mind. I should know better than to try comedy. Kentucky museums where cavemen ride dinosaurs just like Fred Flintstone to religion industry freaks chapped by the fact that... Titusville, Pennsylvania, apparently has a church-free zone. To the utter and absolute silence of the right-wing religion industry on the screwing of America's working poor with regard to the minimum wage. This is Prayer Meeting Edition.
Hallelujah.
Yea, verily. Lay your hands upon the computer speakers. Oh, put... Yes. Sit upon the subwoofer and feel the waves of glory flowing through. Hallelujah. It is 8.5 minutes after the hour, and before we do any of that, Agnes, I want to get started with something that I was profoundly moved by today. I found it, of course, over at that one-stop compendium of all things news. Our good friends Clyde, Wally, and Dookie, and Ed... at WD40.com, D-U-B-Y-A, the letter D, 40, WD40.com, and it is a Vanity Fair article. And it has some, oh, Lord God, Billy Bob, suffice to say, moving information in it. There's audio there, too. The name of the article is 9/11 Live, the NORAD tapes. This is a culling from hour upon hour upon hour, reel after reel after reel, of audio recordings of things going on inside North American Air Defense, Cheyenne Mountain, Wyoming, on 9/11. And from beginning to end, we're going to play a few cuts. But if it's for you like it was for me, it's going to be like having a wound reopened. Because all of a sudden, it was that beautiful September morning in 2001. I was getting ready to go into work and just glanced at the TV on the way out, sat down, called the office and said, not today. So let's hear how, inside the bowels of Cheyenne Mountain, a facility designed to withstand multiple nuclear warhead strikes. Let's hear the first words that Air Defense, the people who are really supposed to be Johnny on the spot. Let's hear the first words from them about what was happening in the skies over New York.
Hi, Boston Center TMU. We have a problem here. We have a hijacked aircraft headed towards New York, and we need you guys to, we need someone to scramble some F-16s or something up there to help us out.
Is this real world or exercise?
No, this is not an exercise, not a test.
This is not a test. Is this real world? Because, they spring this kind of crap on the guys at NORAD all the time. In fact, if you listen further into the recordings, it would appear that there were exercises actually ongoing. So the first thing you get is a call from Boston Center saying, well, in essence, to quote another time, another disaster, another fearful moment in American history, Houston, we've got a problem. Let's go to cut two, Agnes.
What?
Whoa.
What was that?
Not real world. Real world hijack.
Cool.
Real?
I'm not so happy with that clip. What? What was that? Hijacking? A real world hijacking? Cool. And, after I get home from work, I'm going to play with my Malibu Barbie. Hear it again.
What?
Whoa.
What was that?
Not real world. Real world magic.
Cool.
Real?
The first time Agnes and I heard that one, we didn't take to that too very well. But these are human beings, and you got to come back around to it and realize that human beings respond in bizarre ways to bizarre situations. And some of them even sound like, cool. It's a hijacking, and, there'll be some cool stuff to do. So give me cut three there.
I've never seen so much real-world stuff happen during an exercise.
That's what I was talking about. I've never seen so much real-world stuff taking place during an exercise.
See, I don't think she realized.
Nobody inside this mountain was sure whether or not it was real. You and I watching television, CNN or ABC or whatever, had a better sense for what was going on. And bear in mind, that line, I've never seen so much real-world stuff happen during an exercise, that's 8:43 a.m.
I think one thing that points out, Bob, is that there are continual war games going on.
Oh, there are continual readiness exercises. And in September, if you recall, dear, in September of 2001, George Bush's nearest and dearest fear was that we were going to get hit by a missile from one of the unicyclists of evil, Kim Jong-il. That's why in March, thereabouts, my fellow Americans, we must have a missile defense system. because Kim Jong-il is a clear and present danger to the American people. Remember that? I remember that. So that's 8:43 in the morning. What happens next? Cut four, dear.
MCC, I don't know where I'm scrambling these guys to. I need a direction, destination.
Okay, okay, I'm going to give you the Z point. It's just north of New York City.
I got this lat long 4115 7436 or 7346.
Head them in that direction.
Copy that.
8:44 in the morning, and they're scrambling jets from Otis Air Force Base. Otis Air Force Base? Okay. To New York. But they don't know where they're sending them. Everybody is utterly lost. This makes the state of unpreparedness for Pearl Harbor, you understand, look competent by comparison. And from there, it only gets worse.
Is there any
plane to the
what?
No, sir.
It's the 737.
Wait, what?
The World Trade Center.
Who are you talking to? Get pass it to them.
I want to talk to you. Oh my God.
311.
Oh God. Oh my God.
It's not on the news. This plane just crashed into the World Trade Center.
Yeah, update New York.
Air game of Census ID.
See if they lost altitude on that plane altogether.
Yes, ma'am. Did you just hear the information regarding the World Trade Center?
No.
Being hit by an aircraft?
I'm sorry?
Being hit by an aircraft.
It's good.
It's on the world news.
That is 8:51 Eastern Time, Tuesday morning, the 11th of September. And you can almost hear the slack-jawedness of the response. And you don't hold this against any of these people. They were as unaware. They were all but stood down. They were on exercises. Exercises. Read this Vanity Fair article. It's absolutely, it's brilliantly put together. Next cut, please, Agnes.
Yeah, he had six birds.
My recommendation, if we have to take anybody out large aircraft, we use AIM-9s in the face.
Got that? My recommendation, if we have to take any of them out, AIM-9s, those are air-to-air missiles, in the face, right in the nose of the aircraft. But, of course, there's only one problem. These guys are talking strategy at this point, and they have no orders. At the very same time, George Bush is sitting reading My Pet Goat. Or perhaps he's still in the motorcade. I'm not sure which at this juncture. Utterly lost. Out of control. Dick Cheney's, getting his pacemaker oiled. The smart guys, the grown-ups, remember how they called themselves the grown-ups? The grown-ups are not in charge.
Shit. Give me a location.
Now, that's the ones we
take. Third aircraft hijack heading towards Washington.
Can you imagine? I told you, it's like opening an old wound. Go ahead, Agnes.
No. Okay, American Airlines is still airborne. 11, the first guy, he's heading towards Washington. Okay, I think we need to scramble Langley right now, and I'm gonna take the fighters from Otis and try to chase this guy down if I can find him.
Go ahead, dear.
No. Okay, American Airlines is still airborne. 11, the first guy, he's heading towards Washington. Okay, I think we need to scramble Langley right now, and I'm gonna take the fighters from Otis and try to chase this guy down if I can find him.
They're probably not squawking anything anyway. I mean, obviously these guys are in the cockpit.
These guys are smart.
Yeah, they knew exactly what they wanted to do.
Have you asked the question what you're going to do if we actually find this guy? Are we going to shoot him down if they got passengers on board? Have they talked about that?
Answer the question.
See, that's the way it is in Bushmerica. The people who actually have to do the work get hung out to dry and have to wonder about what to do. I mean, you know, earlier, I think an AIM-9 in the face, you know, that's, yeah. But then the horrible realization dawns on them. There are passengers on these planes. Has anybody asked what to do about the fact that if there are passengers on these planes? My God, there's 737, 767s. Of course they've got passengers on them. And there is nothing that they can do. There is no leadership. None. There is no leadership. Just as today, there is no leadership. We are rudderless. How many thousands died in the fetid, stinking, poisonous waters of Katrina in the Ninth Ward? Because we were rudderless. Because we were without leadership. The horror. Would you trade places for one moment with these poor, poor people inside Cheyenne Mountain who were powerless to do anything because they had been given no instruction, nothing had been anticipated, they had no way of doing anything, and they stood there in abject and mute agony and horror as they watched their fellow Americans die in New York and Washington? We are leaderless. There is no president of the United States. There's a little puppet sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue whose only response to world crises is to stuff his face with a bread roll and mutter an obscenity and go rub the neck of the German chancellor and talk about, I hope I get to carve the pig. I hope you'll forgive me when I say that I heard the response of dear leader with regard to his physical yesterday. Guy's got a resting heart rate of 46. I need some medical professional opinion. What does it take to, I mean, you know, I'm a smoker, and I do a lot of sitting. I should get more exercise than what I get. But the fact is, you know, with all that going on, I got an okay heartbeat. You know, it's not running like a rabbit or anything in there, you know, at this point. But George Bush has a resting heart rate of 46.
What is he, dead?
Right. But anyway, I mean, I think it's. I don't know. Could that be maintained by medication? Could that account for some of the stupidity, Agnes? I don't know. But at any rate, the only difference for his physical yesterday, they came out and they pronounced the king to be fit as a fiddle.
Of course.
Except that he had gained 5 pounds from last year, and dear leader came out and said, I reckon that's from eating too many birthday cakes. Huh? Yeah, the leader of the free world, that's the best he can come up with. I reckon it's from eating too many birthday cakes. Well, okay, there were two responses came to me immediately thereafter. Yeah, there was that one birthday cake you ate with John McCain while the Ninth Ward drowned, you jerk. And then the other thought. I guess I've eaten too many birthday cakes. I mean, dig the grammar of that, will you? No, this is not regular guy grammar. I've eaten too many birthday cakes. What you say, George, is I had too much birthday cake. But no, I've eaten too many birthday cakes, and I think there's something kind of Freudian in that. I wish I had my buddy psychologist Rick Goodner on hand right now. I'd like to inquire of him about that. I've eaten too many birthday cakes, because the first thing that came into my mind was, yeah, George, about 60 of them. So we're not done with the NORAD tapes. Let's take a break, because my resting heart rate is not 46 right now. This is the Head On Radio Network. Your phone calls are, of course, welcome, 877-443-2366. I'm Bob.
Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who cares. Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who's there. Feeling unknown and you're all alone.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Hello?
Louise, it's Ralph. Listen, would you go out with me tomorrow?
At 8? Ralph, I'd love to.
Well, I have an appointment with my orthopedic surgeon, and I really want you to come along.
A doctor's office? That's so special. Oh, I just remembered I have to delete some emails.
Come on, Louise. We're going to talk about the pain in my hip, and I could use a little support.
I guess I'm not very hip.
You could take notes and help me remember stuff. Look, I have all my doctor questions written down, but there's so much to remember. I need you there with me so I don't miss anything.
Couldn't we just play miniature golf?
Louise, I'm not asking for a kidney.
Bringing someone to your appointment is a good way to make sure you and your physician are on the same page. The idea is to partner with your doctor and share information so you can make informed decisions together. For more on patient-doctor communications, visit orthoinfo.org, a message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, where patient-centered care means getting better together.
Hey, John, I just heard you got a new computer. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's the coolest thing.
What'll you do with your old computer?
I don't know. I guess I'll just throw it away.
Well, my company just bought new computers, and we decided to donate the old PCs to a place that gives them to local schools. You could do something like that.
Seriously, who would want a 3-year-old computer?
Hey, it might be great for someone else. Computers can be refurbished and reused instead of ending up in the trash. By passing it on, you can help the community and the environment.
If you're replacing your company's IT equipment or you're finished using your personal computer, pass it on to a local organization that accepts computers. To learn more, log on to epa.gov/passiton. This message was brought to you by EPA, Dell, Intel, HP, NEC, Philips, and this radio station on behalf of EPA's Plug Into eCycling Partnership. EPA does not endorse any commercial services or products of these groups. For information on all partners, log on to epa.gov/plugin.
She loved him most when his eyes were gray. The pale shade of a winter day. shine for him like candlelight. That softly beckons in the night. But he said no right to her face. Then simply turned and walked away.
Half past the hour now. Throw a couple more eucalyptus branches on the hot rocks of the sauna. Let's get some energizing steam going in here. I kid. It is hot all across the country. And it looks, from the studio we can see the sun crossing down behind the mountains. You know, that's the difference between folks who live in mountains and folks who don't. If you're at the seashore on the West Coast, you can see the sun drop all the way into the ocean. Here, the sun tucks itself behind a mountain that it turns purple before it goes. Very special happy birthday wishes going out to our good friend Glenda. And welcome her son home. It's like a little family around here, isn't it? Let's go back to the NORAD tapes. You simply must read this article. Again, the link to it is up at WD40.com. Because it's more than just a chronology. It is an indictment of lie. And when I say an indictment, I'm not talking about the people who actually were doing the work. I'm talking about, once again, one of America's greatest problems, its general staff of its military. Because what you come away from this article knowing is that it was an onion of lies. It was a lie inside of a lie inside of a lie inside of a lie. And the author of the article, whose name is, I'd scrolled past his name, is Michael Bronner, has put this together in such a way that, frankly, it's almost admissible. It reads like an indictment. It is chronological. It is rational. And it's not worth it to me to get the whole Star Trek earworm. Captain, it was terrible. They put things in our ears. That happens to me when I listen to right wing radio. But it would be interesting to hear how this is handled. A Colonel Scott put the time NORAD was first notified about United 93 at 9:16 a.m., after which he says they tracked it closely until it crashed at 10:03. Turns out, according to that, now that was his testimony to the dummied-up, ginned-up, faked-up, phonied-up 9/11 commission with whitewash specialist Lee Hamilton. And after they couldn't get Henry Kissinger onto it, what was his name? Keane from New Jersey for the Republican side. So let's, if you can stand it, let's hear a little bit more, please.
Well, you got quick response over there. He's in the airspace now. You want to go to Baltimore?
Yes, sir. We're not going to take him in Whiskey 386.
Okay, once he goes to Baltimore, what are we supposed to do?
Just have him contact us by an auxiliary frequency, 234.6. We just need, instead of taking the hand off to us and then us handing him back, just tell Center they've got to go to Baltimore.
All right, stand by. We'll get back here.
Thanks, Papa Tango.
We'll get back here. Just do it.
Okay. I'm going to go get here.
That's all right.
Be very professional.
Okay.
I know.
All right, Hawk, let's get right together here.
Okay, what that was, just so you'll know, that was traffic between fighter jets that had been scrambled and NORAD. The scrambled fighter jets were headed for an exercise zone called Whiskey 386. Whiskey 386 is somewhere out over the Atlantic Ocean. That's where they were scrambled to. What you just heard was them being told to turn around and head back for Baltimore. Play it again, Agnes.
Well, you got 65 moving east of the airspace now. You want to go to Baltimore?
Yes, sir. We're not going to take him in Whiskey 386.
Okay, once he goes to Baltimore, what are we supposed to do?
Just have him contact us by an auxiliary frequency, 234.6. We just need, instead of taking the hand off to us and then us handing him back, just tell Center they've got to go to Baltimore.
All right, stand by. We'll get back here.
Thanks, Pop Sanger.
Center, we'll get back here. Just do it.
Okay. I'm going to go get that.
That's right.
Be very professional.
Okay.
I know.
All right, Hawk, let's get our act together here.
Wow. So they get the jets turned, they send them back. A little bit later, you get this.
Okay, Foxy, I got an aircraft 6 miles east of the White House. Get this player there. Excuse me, Foxy.
Papa Tango.
I came from Boston?
Oh, we're going to turn and burn it, crank it up. All right, here we go. This is what we're going to do here.
6 miles east of the White House right now.
A monster, mother.
Okay. He's deviating from FAA.
Is that airline right now?
And run him
to the White House. 8777, go directly to Washington. Yeah, we're hearing a loud clear.
We're going direct DC with my guys.
Okay. Okay.
Ma'am, we are going to FBO right now with Quick 25. They're going direct Washington.
Quick 25 is we're heading up center right now.
Ma'am, we need to expedite it right now. We've got to contact them on 2346.
I get shivers down my spine when I hear that level of chaos. Now, we have talked on this program time after time after time after time about how the government does, the Bush administration, does everything in its power to make us be afraid of the tourists, of the guys with the box cutters. But you know what? I'm not afraid of the guys with the box cutters, and neither are you. I'm not afraid of the guys with the dynamite belts, and neither are you. I can have far more terrifying situations simply by entering into highway traffic than by sitting around thinking about half-crazed Muslims with box cutters. But if you want the kind of fear that will wake you up ice cold in the middle of the night with the sweat running down your back and dripping into your eyes from your forehead, you contemplate the level of disinterest and unreadiness on the part of an administration and its top brass to situations like this. And they still don't get it. We all had a big chuckle a week or so ago when the story came out that said that Indiana has more potential terrorist targets than New York City. Yeah. And that Washington, D.C. wasn't even on the list. How about that? Oh, they're wasting our money protecting goat farms. Them dumb old Republicans. Good God. It isn't funny. It isn't funny. They were not prepared then. They are not prepared now. I heard from a listener overnight who pointed out the fact that if you really want to go to war and you want to get the job done, you pretty much got to do it under a Democratic administration. Not inspiring for a pro-peace kind of guy like me, but if you want to get it done and you want to get it finished and you want to get the boys and girls home, as many of them out of boxes as opposed to inside them as possible, then, you know, Democrats have to run things. That's true of the First World War. It is true of the Second World War. It is largely true of Korea. It is true even of Vietnam when you consider what happened after LBJ left office. It got worse. War crimes were committed against the Cambodian and Laotian people. You know, the neocons, the whole reason for Gulf War II, or whatever number you want to assign to it, the whole reason for Bush War II is that his daddy, according to the neocons, now, you know, don't hang this one on me, the neocons say that daddy screwed up Bush War I because he left Saddam in place and didn't march on Baghdad. And, of course, that's that whole weird psychological thing between father and son and, you know, the drunken brawl and him standing there with a beer in one hand, Now, let's go, Daddy. I will take you mano a mano. I think I had too many birthday cakes.
There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on.
Yeah. Well, see, George, before you ever said that, buddy, they came on, they brought it on, and you weren't ready. Some say you were an active participant. Others say, George, that you were criminally and willfully negligent. I go at the very least for criminally negligent. So if you heard, and you did, if you follow the article, you'll know that much of this has been concerned with trying to figure out just where in the hell American Flight 11 is. And American Airlines was being of no help whatsoever. And they finally catch up to, well, is that the one that slammed into the World Trade Center? Yeah. Then it turns out it wasn't. And then you finally hear, I'm tracking one 6 miles southeast of the White House. 6 miles? At better than 400 knots? Too late. Now, let's go to the next clip.
No, help. No. Right here. I got him.
Bravo, zero.
Our related search.
We just lost track. Just
get a viewpoint on that.
Talk about him.
Adam, lost him.
Yeah, we just did too. Okay, we got guys looking at him. Hold on. Where's Langley at? Where are the fighters?
Where's Langley? Okay.
South 89, that's a hijack. They think it's possible hijack.
Fuck. South of Cleveland, we have a code on him now.
Good. Pick it up. Find it.
Right. We're looking him up right now.
89. Bowen 767.
Let's go to Vegas.
Fuck, another one.
And then they think they've got another one headed for them. Oh, and I'm sorry. I hope L. Brent Bozo wasn't listening with his Parents TV Resource Research Council of Friendly Family Viewing and Listening. Because you just heard two panic-ridden people say a word that Americans can't hear because the word is dirty. You tell me what is dirtier. You tell me. You tell me whether it's dirtier to hear a stressed-out, horrified young woman say that word, or whether it's dirtier to have a pig-eyed, jug-eared little lout of a man sitting in a classroom reading My Pet Goat while thousands die. What's dirtier, conservatives? What's dirtier? So they had Flight 11, they lost Flight 11, and then another one blips up on the radar screen headed from Boston to Las Vegas, and Jesus Christ, it might be another one. And the whole world is coming down around them because they have no leadership. Next clip, please, Agnes.
Quick 2-5, mission is intercept aircraft over White House. Use FAO for guidance.
Divert the aircraft away from the White House. Intercept and divert it.
Quick 2-5, I'll copy.
Copy.
Quick 2-5, divert the aircraft from.
we got that. Do you hear that? That aircraft over to White House. What's the word?
Going to Pittsburgh?
Intercept and what else? Okay. Aircraft over the White House.
We got a United 93 out here. Are you aware of that?
United
93. Oh, no.
We've got three more hijacked airborne.
That has a bomb on board.
A bomb on board. And this is confirmed. Do you have a mode 3, sir?
No, we lost this transponder.
Give me the call sign. Give me the whole nine yards. United 93. Real quick. I got a bomb.
How many times? Three times. We got a bomb. We got a bomb on board. We got a bomb. Suddenly things make a little more sense, don't they? United 93 suddenly blossoms somewhere in western Pennsylvania. Onto the radar. They've got a plane over the White House. And they've got United 93. And they still don't know about the plane allegedly bound for Vegas. It might be hijacked, too. Once there was a boy named Timmy. Timmy had a goat. The goat was Timmy's pet goat. Can you say goat? We have a bomb on board Flight 93. This stuff has never been heard by the public before until Vanity Fair got hold of it. We have a bomb on board Flight 93. Flight 93, whose scatter pattern of wreckage was on the order of a 26-mile radius, if I recall my information correctly. Planes that just drop out of the sky and go splat onto the ground don't have scatter patterns of 26 miles. Is the wound reopened yet? See, the thing that these recordings did for me is they sort of pulled me back from all of the whether or not Building 7 was depressed and tired of it all and decided to commit suicide and yada, 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 and puddles of molten steel and Jesus Christ, it was this way. And no, what about that guy who had a special contract to mop the floors in the bay? Screw all that. Because what we have here, if you read this entire article, you don't need any of that anymore. You don't need to, just put it away. Put it away. Because the negligence alone is sufficient to convict. Three times you just heard, there's a bomb on board Flight 93. There's a bomb. A bomb? We have a bomb. And there's a plane over the White House. Where's Langley? Where's Langley? Next clip, please, Agnes.
United 93, mode 315. Negative clearance to shoot. Jamie, 1527, Brian. God damn it. Foxy?
I'm not really worried about code words.
Fuck the code words. That's perishable information. Negative clearance to fire. ID type tail.
Negative clearance to fire.
United 93, have you got information on that yet?
Yeah, he's down.
He's down?
Yes.
When did he land? Because we had confirmation.
He did not land.
Oh, he's down?
Yes. Bomb? Somewhere up northeast of Camp David.
Northeast of Camp David.
That's the last report. They don't know exactly where.
What? Northeast of Camp David? I kind of know where Camp David is. And I kind of know, from having wandered that section of the state a little bit, where Shanksville, PA is. Camp David way over here, Shanksville, west, really, really west of Camp David. One more time.
United 93, mode 3, 15,
negative,
27.
Negative clearance to shoot.
15, 27. Jamie, 1527, Brian. God damn it. Foxy? I'm not really worried about code words.
Fuck the code words. That's perishable information.
Negative clearance to fire. ID type tail.
Who are they?
Go ahead.
United 93. Have you got information on that yet?
Yeah, he's down.
He's down?
Yes.
When did he land? Because we had confirmation.
He did not land.
Oh, he's down?
Yes. Bomb? Somewhere up northeast of Camp David.
Northeast of Camp David.
That's the last report. They don't know exactly where.
He's down? Did you hear the hope in her voice? Did you hear the hope? He's down? When did he land? No, no. He's down. Oh, he's down? Down? He's down. Somewhere northeast of Camp David. It's the last we heard. Negative permission to shoot. Negative permission to shoot. Who was that being directed to? The guys that were coming back from being sent out over the Atlantic Ocean? You'll find if you read the article that there were some jets from Michigan that had no missiles, no guns, no nothing, but that were kept in the air. So it's not them being told not to shoot. But he's already down before they've said, don't shoot. These tapes really answer no questions, do they? Except for the one question that we have all had buried in our bosoms for a long, long time, as well as the answer. Negligence. Gross negligence. Willful, wanton disregard for human life was as much the cause of the deaths on September 11th, 2001 as any Arab with any box cutter. And you see, now that this stuff is out there, they're going to hang these people out to dry. They're going to hang them out to dry because they say dirty words. But of course, don't worry, America. You won't have to hear the dirty words because your FCC is wide awake and living in abject terror of the religion industry, which is sure that if a child should happen to walk through the room when someone is saying that word, those words, that they will be corrupted for life and become mother-stabbing father-rapers. The entire White House and Pentagon system was stood down and in a state of utter unreadiness, but the FCC stands ready to punish to the tune of $350,000 the first news organization that transmits that word. Those words. Those words should be screamed from the rooftops and the mountaintops and the valleys below by the people who hear this audio. And they should be directed at the White House and the servile Congress that was asleep and woke only long enough to stand on the steps of the Capitol and sing and do the Pledge of Allegiance and pass the Patriot Act and create the Department of Homeland Security, whose leader, John Negroponte, you know, Director of National Intelligence, spends the better part of every day laying on a massage table with a cigar in his mouth reading the newspaper. I harbor some sort of false hope that things like this would actually make America mad enough to do something. A little bit of text from the article. On June 17, 2004, a year after the 9/11 Commission's initial public hearing, Major General Arnold and a more robust contingent of NORAD and Pentagon brass arrived to testify before the Commission at its 12th and final public meeting. This time they would testify under oath. The hearing began with an elaborate multimedia presentation in which John Farmer, Jr., the Commission's senior counsel, John Azzarello, and another staff attorney, Dana Hyde, took turns illustrating in withering detail the lag time between the FAA found out about each of the hijacked aircraft and the time anyone from the agency notified the military. And then there's Dick Cheney, who talked about how they agonized over whether or not to give the authorization to shoot down one of these aircraft. But of course, seeing how it was Dick Cheney, it turns out it was all just a lie, because the plane was already down before the discussion was even had. South of the Rio Grande, Mexican people are gathering in villages, are gathering in town squares, are gathering at the seat of their government to demand that their votes be counted. We couldn't be bothered to do that in November of 2000. We couldn't be bothered to take to the streets for days on end in Washington, D.C. and demand that our votes be counted. We couldn't bother to stand and chant so loudly that even the ancient fascist freaks inside the Supreme Court would hear our voices. We couldn't be bothered. We couldn't be bothered. And because we couldn't be bothered, George Bush was appointed President of the United States. And he is a negligent man. He is an ignorant man. He is a wicked man. He is a hateful man. And he couldn't be bothered to read the Hart-Rudman report that was placed on his desk in January of 2001, predicting something very similar to what happened on 9/11. Shall we do the fairy tale now? For want of a nail, a shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, a horse was lost. For want of a horse, a king was lost. For want of a king, a kingdom was lost. Lord, for a leader. Oh, for a leader in times such as these. It's time for the news. When we come back, your calls are most welcome. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is the Head On Radio Network.
Death don't have no mercy in this land. Death don't have no mercy in this land. He will come in your house and he won't stay long. You look in your bed and somebody be gone. Death don't have no mercy in this land. Death will go in any family in this land. Death will go in any family in this land. He will come in your house and he won't stay long.
This is the Quality News Network. 10 Hezbollah militants were reportedly killed and 5 others captured in an Israeli raid at a hospital near the Syrian border. Israel reportedly believed it was being used as a Hezbollah stronghold and that a kidnapped Israeli soldier was being held there. At least 15 Lebanese civilians were also killed in rocket attacks, including 4 children. Also, Hezbollah fired more than 200 rockets into Israel, killing 1 Israeli and wounding more than 100. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert says the fighting will continue until an international peacekeeping force arrives, but there has so far been no volunteers. A UN Security Council meeting scheduled for tomorrow has been postponed. Near Gaza, Israeli ships attacked boats and buildings believed to be used to smuggle weapons to Palestinian militants. No injuries were reported. In Baghdad today, 50 people were killed in sectarian and political violence. 2 Americans and 11 children who were playing soccer are among the dead. Thousands of Shiites marched through Baghdad today, demanding an end to the violence. Still, Iraq's president says Iraqi forces will be able to take over security for all 18 provinces by the end of the year. CNN and AP say evidence collected by the Pentagon supports accusations that Marines deliberately shot 24 civilians in Haditha last November. The military is still weighing whether to file criminal charges. One of the Marines accused in connection with those deaths has filed a defamation lawsuit against Congressman John Murtha. In Washington, lawmakers are preparing to offer cash rewards to Cuban dissidents who fight for democracy. The legislation would authorize up to $80 million over a 2-year period. Mexican President Vicente Fox is calling on authorities to find a peaceful way to end protests in Mexico City. Demonstrators have brought the city to a virtual standstill as they continue to demand a recount of last month's presidential votes. On Capitol Hill, lawmakers are taking workers' tips into consideration as they debate a new minimum wage bill. In most states, tips make up for less pay, but 7 states now allow workers to keep tips in addition to their normal wages. If the bill passes, it would cut $3 or more an hour from thousands of workers' paychecks. Tropical Storm Chris blew through part of the Caribbean today, forcing some evacuations and cruise ships to alter their courses. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The FDA and representatives from Bayer Pharmaceuticals are scheduled to meet next week. They'll discuss the company's application for over-the-counter sales of its morning-after pill, Plan B. The FDA says a decision is expected within several weeks. U.S. mortgage applications fell last week to their lowest level in more than 4 years. The Mortgage Bankers Association says its seasonally adjusted index dropped 1.2%. Chrysler is recalling more than 832,000 Jeep Liberty SUVs because of steering problems. The recall covers 2002 through 2006 models. Nike founder Philip Knight, a Stanford alumnus, is giving Stanford University's Graduate School of Business a record $105 million gift. A new building will be named after him. Google has struck a deal with XM Satellite Radio. Its advertisers can now automatically insert ads on the radio company's non-music channels. AOL says it will give away free email accounts and software. Those services were previously available only to paying customers. Starbucks has reported a 16% jump in third quarter profits. The company plans to open 2,000 new stores worldwide this year and 2,400 in 2007. Light sweet crude settled at $75.81 today. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 74 points, NASDAQ up 17, S&P 500 up 7. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, 5 minutes past the hour. I'm Bob Kincaid. Moving on. Moving on to the phones, we are joined at this time by our good friend Mitch from the Bay Area. Mitch, welcome to the program.
I'm down in L.A.
Oh, you're down in L.A.?
Yes, Southern California.
Oh, okay.
Even though his accent is from the Far East.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I was listening to you. I got in a little late tonight, and you said, okay, I was following you for a while, then playing with Donald, east of Camp David, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, they said that 93 was down, to the best of their knowledge, somewhere northeast of Camp David.
So the plane that Rumsfeld claims he shot down over Pennsylvania, what plane was that?
That's 93. That's what they were saying was down northeast of Camp David.
Yeah, but I mean, two planes crashed, obviously. I mean, if one plane crashed northeast of Camp David, what crashed in Pennsylvania?
see.
What was all that wreck in Pennsylvania that was thrown for 26 miles? What was that? But I mean, because Rumsfeld already said that he claimed that he remember, and they said the next
day
he misstated. How do you misstate that, Bob? Come on. The plane we shot down over Pennsylvania.
Well, look, Mitch, I've got an air traffic controller buddy who will. No, I begged him to come on the program.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he's enjoying his life too much.
Yeah, well, you could get a disguised voice with one of those like warped voices, or you know, or something like that, where you could disguise his voice or something. Because somebody's got to blow the whistle on this thing, man. Because a plane was shot down over Pennsylvania. God knows how many people was on that plane.
Well, I mean, you raise a good question. Was it another one of those fog of war things? I mean, I remember watching the coverage, Mitch, and they were saying, well, you know, the bombs are going off over by the State Department too, Fred.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, lunatics. But I mean, this thing is, I mean, when this thing is finally uncovered, and the media finally reports it, the regular news media that we watch on TV, they're going to be discredited. It's going to discredit them because they came so late. It's going to change the face of news. It'll change the face of the way we get our news. I mean, it's going to be strictly, there's not going to be network TV like we have it now, I don't think. You know?
See, what I get out of this, Mitch, is a picture of the grossest kind of negligence. You know, not so much. You know, these poor schlubs inside the Cheyenne Mountain, they were, you know, they were mushrooms. You know, they were kept in the dark and fed nothing but.
Right. No, I understand that.
And the air traffic controllers and my God, they scrambled the jets out over the North Atlantic.
I mean, everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong. You know, and it couldn't have. It had to be planned. Nothing could be that impeccable. I mean, it was impeccable. It was an impeccable disaster. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
There wasn't one area of it that wasn't a disaster. I mean, it covered every angle: the media, the White House. Every angle of our culture. It was caught up in this, you know, and it's turned us around inside out, you know. And when the news finally breaks, I mean, the thing is, I think when I listen to you and I listen to Malloy, and by the way, you know, Malloy's been kicked off TV, radio in L.A.?
No.
Yeah, they won't, they're America out here, kicked them off. You can get them, like, if you stay up to, like, 1 o'clock in the morning, they give them 1 hour.
What did they replace him with?
Harrison on the Edge.
Have
you ever heard of him?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Yeah,
you know?
I think he was one of Mike's producers once upon a time.
Probably a very sweet guy, you know what I mean? But you and Malloy, I mean, see, voices like you, like me, see, the point I was going to say is you, Malloy, myself, we have allowed ourselves, because of who we are and because of our past, we have allowed ourselves to fall through the rabbit hole a little further than most people. And we're crying down from the bottom of the rabbit hole because we're seeing things that other people aren't seeing, you know? And other people, things that are so obvious to us. I mean, I just can't believe that the public is so obtuse, so dense. I mean, that, you know, that there are people that, I mean, could possibly, I mean, fathom any, I mean, from 9/11 to the Iraq, I mean, this guy has been, oh, I mean, this guy should be committed. You know, I mean, when he's out of office, they should dip him in wax. You know? I mean, really.
I think he already has been, Mitch.
Oh, he looks so stupid. I mean, how could the face of evil look so stupid? You know, I mean that.
But the evil people. I mean that works so nicely. I mean if you really want to get your brain cells squirming, it's handy to have evil look that way, because that way you're looking at him and you're not looking at the real evil. I mean, you know, look at Dick Cheney. Anytime he tries to smile, anytime Dick Cheney tries to manifest some level of pleasure in this life, the best he can come up with is, you know, he looks like the Frankenstein monster going, fire bad, you know.
And then Bush looks like, you know, sometimes I look at him, he looks like Howdy Doody, you know. I swear to God, he reminds me of Howdy Doody. Fought his hair on the same side, has the same look. But I was reading this book by Ron Suskind, you know, the 1% Solution.
Yes.
And they say that Karl Rove's nickname at the White House was Edgar, after Edgar Bergen.
Sure.
That was his nickname in the White House. And in the intelligence agency, they would call him Edgar. And you know, and because Bush would then, Bush could hear that and probably still would understand they were kidding around. But, I mean, that was sort of like a private joke. I mean, I would just like to see one respectable reporter, one respectable journalist who stand up at a press conference and say, excuse me, Mr. President, could you go play and have someone who knows something about what's going on please come and handle this press conference? You know, you are a complete idiot. With all due respect, sir, you are a complete idiot.
Wouldn't you like to? But, you know, these...
I would. I swear to God.
Oh, yeah.
I would do it. I mean, because at this point, I don't dare.
No, because instead of getting what you want, Mitch, you get the opposite of it.
Oh, I know.
You get Jeff Gannon standing up. Hi, I'm Jeff Gannon, Talon News Service. You, sir, are hot. Let me ask you an easy question.
Thank God for Helen Thomas, man.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, every once in a while you see somebody like David Gregory. He'll make a pointed question, and then, like, you know, I mean, but no follow-up question. No. You know, I mean, he just they listen to what's obviously bull to them, to us, to everybody who has half. I mean, a mentally retarded person would know that it was a baloney. You know what I mean? And they don't call on it. They just don't say.
Well, see, I got a personal theory, Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think. Well, you know, David Gregory did one of those just recently. A pretty good question. But I think he gets about. He gets close to the end of the question, and all of a sudden something. You know, it's like that little devil Fred Flintstone on Fred's left shoulder that pops up in the red pajamas and whispers in his ear. Whispers in his ear, the mortgage, you dummy.
Right,
the
right.
mortgage.
Right, the Mercedes. The Mercedes.
You'll never make next month's payment.
No, these guys are so wealthy, too. They are, I mean, these guys are in the class that's getting the tax breaks that pushes into the...
Oh, my God. David Sirota. I got an article from one of the listeners today by David Sirota pointing out the fact that Tom Friedman, who has never seen a Bush program he didn't love, who's never seen a tax cut that he didn't... This guy lives in an 11,900-square-foot house and is married into a family worth $2.7 billion.
That's nice, huh? His
yeah.
real name, I think his real name is Myron or something like that. No, seriously, he's changed. It was like Myron or Heine or something. I mean, he was a Jew, a very ethnic, very Jewish name, and he changed it because didn't want to appear so ethnic. You know, because, I mean, he was like in the generation after Geraldo. Geraldo's generation wanted to appear ethnic.
Right.
He was back in the yuppie generation where you were trying to look white again, you know?
Yeah, because because Geraldo's, you know, before he got on TV, he was Jerry Rivera.
Yeah, I know. I mean, all these guys. I mean, what was Savage?
Oh, the Michael Weiner.
Michael Weiner, right. Mike Weiner. Isn't that a perfect name for him? That would have been a perfect Weiner.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it said Weiner, but it's spelled Weiner, you know.
Yeah, well, it was perfect.
I mean,
Weiner, I mean, it works either way for that guy, you know. I mean, that guy.
Yeah, and these people are the worst kind of hypocrites because, I mean, in Savage's place, for instance, Mitch, if you do the research, you'll find... in the Allen Ginsberg correspondence collection, as kept by Stanford University, there's a postcard from him to Allen. Savage, he says, we need to bomb Baghdad into, you know, flatten it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, back when he had an opportunity to flatten something, i.e., Vietnam, he was working on a Ph.D. in like holistic plant biology. That's why he calls himself Dr. Savage, because he's got some sort of goofy Ph.D.
Yeah, right.
So he's in Fiji, and he writes a letter, a postcard, and it's in the collection. He writes a postcard to Allen Ginsberg telling him that he wants to stick his camera up Allen's backside and take pictures because it reminds him of the people that he's dealing with in Fiji.
Ooh-wee.
You know, and this creep gets on the air and hammers gay people.
I hear you, man. Can I get off topic for one second?
Oh, but take it anywhere you want to.
I want you to give me the real honest lowdown. There's a guy on Air America around here that I don't like, and he's on when Randy should be on in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
This guy from the fat guy from the Midwest who calls him.
Oh, Schultz?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, see, he's not really Air America.
I don't like this guy at all, but he's not Air America, and he makes a point of saying that all the time. But, he makes a point of saying, like, I'm better than Air America is basically what he does. But the guy seems like a blowhard to me, and I don't think he's ever met a Democrat or a politician whose party didn't kiss. You know, I'm sorry about that. But, he's really what's the lowdown on this guy?
I wouldn't trust him in an outhouse with a muzzle on, Mitch.
How long has this guy? I heard this guy was a former right winger.
Oh, God, yeah. He was 30 years laboring in obscurity in North Dakota, calling high school football games, and he was a gun-toting Second Amendment conservative, blah, 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 blah. And then he claims that somewhere along the way he had this road to Damascus moment, Mitch, when he realized that he was wrong about everything but the guns. And he became, and like I said, 20, 25, 30 years laboring in obscurity, trying to do radio talk in the upper Midwest. And suddenly he saw some of the things that I saw a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I was a little slower getting it started, but
you're genuine to the bone.
Yeah, I am what I am. I've never changed my stripes. He saw an economic opportunity, rebranded himself as a radical moderate.
Oh, is that what he calls himself now?
I don't know. I seem to have heard that somewhere along the way. So he gets...
Because the other day he was saying that 9/11 stuff. I don't buy that stuff. I put it on by accident. I forgot he was on the radio because I usually go to my computer after 12. And I put the radio on. He was on. He was saying, don't tell me about that 9/11 crap. I don't believe that stuff. That's crap. That's crap. I don't want to hear that crap. I saw the movies. It's crap. I don't want to hear it.
Well, you got to understand, he was the first project of something called Democracy Radio. Democracy Radio does not exist anymore, but Democracy Radio existed, Mitch, to go out and find potential so-called progressive or liberal talkers that they could then groom into national status a la Rush Limbaugh.
Right, okay.
And he was their first project, and Democracy Radio was absorbed, bought, whatever, by Air America.
Well, can I ask you an honest question? When you hear his voice, when you hear Limbaugh's voice, can you tell the difference sometimes?
In a room with the lights turned out, I couldn't tell the difference.
I can't tell with the lights on. I can't tell the difference. I have to listen for a while, I have to say, oh, it's him. Okay, I didn't know which one. He sounds just like him. They even sound alike.
Well, that's because he spent years and years modeling himself on Rush.
Well, he looks just like him. The two of them couldn't fit in the same room, but
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah, it'd be a nice meeting, Anyway, my friends, this whole thing is driving me crazy. I put on Olbermann a second ago, and Bush had a press conference today. Did you see a press conference?
To be honest, no.
He has some guy standing behind him. It's like King Kong Bundy, from the WWF. I mean, this guy's ugly, bald and ugly. And I don't know what it is, but Bush has that stupid smile on his face. Oh, now it's Mel Gibson again.
Oh, God. Not Mel Gibson.
Yeah, it's Mel Gibson. Keith doesn't like doing these stories either. He even tells you. He says, I don't want to do these stories. But he has to throw them in.
I have done everything in my power to stay away from Mel.
Yeah, well, good for you, but
I mean, it's just, it is what it is.
Well, Mel Gibson is what he is. How does it affect my life or yours,
It doesn't.
Gracie Slick used to have a name for that, remember?
I know. Apparently, I could win a tequila drinking contest against him. That much I know. I mean, when he was busted in the car, there was a quarter of a bottle gone,
There you go.
I know. I'm at least halfway into the bottle before I start putting the lampshade on and dancing on the furniture.
Oh, man, yeah. I don't know. Sometimes he was just. Like they say, sometimes the liquor's an excuse.
Liquor's never an excuse. It's not.
In his own head, an excuse for him. The liquor that he gets drinks.
The liquor was anti-Semitic. I know.
And it's an excuse for him to say, okay, I was drunk and I said all these things. I'll say all these things and I'll say I was drunk later. I'm drunk. I can be brave. And these things come out. These deep things that are deep inside him.
Yeah.
And God bless him. I hope he resolves his thing. He says he wants to talk to the Jewish leaders in L.A. There's a lot of Jewish leaders in L.A. I hope they get together with him, and I hope he's truthful. I mean, God bless him,
Yeah.
We have to direct our venom at the Republicans right now. Mel Gibson's the least of our problems.
Eyes on the prize, Mitch. Eyes on the prize.
Yeah, that's it. Unless Mel Gibson wants to run for governor of California,
then it's a different. Well, yeah, then you got Mel the anti-Semite against Schwarzenegger, whose daddy was in the SS, and it's just a happy time.
I read the polls today. The polls today, Angeles is like 6 to 7 points behind, which isn't bad, but still, why isn't he 56 points ahead? Schwarzenegger. come on, the teachers, everybody out here hates him, and he's still ahead of Angelides.
Well, that means that that poll means, Mitch, is that the women have not come together with real unity yet, because there's no way a woman in her right mind could vote for Schwarzenegger. The teachers, the nurses, dear God, there's a National Labor Relations Board thing going on called the Kentucky River cases, and it's centered over on this part of the continent, but it's the Bush administration arguing that every single registered nurse in the United States should be stripped of his or her union rights and reclassified as a supervisor. Now, the California Nurses Association is leading the fight on that.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. I've read about that. I know a nurse who works for the VA.
You know, and the California Nurses Association is a humdinger organization.
Well, you know what I think? I think Schwarzenegger will lose in the general election, because I think in the first election it was a fad. All those guys that like to sit around and watch, you know, and watch WWF on Monday night or whatever. Well, you know, the guys, you know, the good old boys. You know, it was a coup. Hey, let's go, boy. Hey, it's a coup. Let's register to vote for Arnie. You know, hey, you know. I don't think those guys could be pedicles. I mean, to get off the couch and do it again, I don't think they'll do it. The first time it was...
Well, all that fiscal responsibility crap that he preached, and he turned around and tried to put California in debt for the next 200 years.
Oh, see.
You know, talk about your... Never mind the tax and spend. I mean, this is borrow and spend. And my God, what kind... we know that any child born in America today has a $45,000, $50,000bill hanging around its neck just from George Bush. What happens to... What's that bill look like for a child born in California?
Exactly. And you want to complete the circle of complete and utter bizarreness. Look at the family he's married into.
Oh, I know.
How does the world work? I mean, someday, you know what heaven is? Heaven is one day going up there, and God says, you can look down and go, oh, okay. I mean, because that has to be it. I mean, heaven has to be finally knowing what this was about, because it's all too bizarre. You know, the skull and bones, the thing with Kerry and him, and Schwarzenegger married into the Kennedy clan, the most liberal.
And James Carville goes home to marry Madeline.
That I can't see. I would torture. I mean, this would be the first case of spousal abuse in history where the judge would come off the stand and beat the witness too. You know, I mean, it'd be terrible. I mean, that woman she's just galling. And I mean, and vile, and I mean, I could stand Carville because he's on our side in a way, but I could understand the Republicans' revulsion of him too. I could understand his personality. This probably revulsed him completely. You know,
her pet name for him is Old Serpent Head.
Oh God, that's what he looks like.
I know.
I wonder what kind of
supercilious witch.
Yeah, something like that. I was going to say something a little bit more vile, but I thought better of it. You were on the radio.
Hey,
anyway,
Mitch.
My brother, I love you. Give my love to Agnes.
I sure will.
And take care. And everybody else who's listening in, call right in. Any of my friends are listening, any of you jerks, will you please call this guy? I swear to God, I email all these people. I tell them to call. Maybe they do call. I don't. Maybe I don't know who they are.
Well, you know, there's an old saw out there about talk radio, Mitch, and it says for every person, and I know it works in terrestrial radio. I don't know if it works in with the internet stuff, but in terrestrial radio, there's an old saw that says for every person who picks up the phone and calls a radio station talk show, there are 1,000 who are terrified to do it. You got to remember that it was a study commissioned by, I think, Toastmasters many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They asked people the 10 things in life they were most afraid of. Death was 3.
Mm-hmm.
Public speaking was 1.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And again, you got to remember the well has been poisoned by 25 years of right-wing filth. You can't necessarily break people of that. They're afraid that somewhere along the way, you know, they're going to be made fun of by the host, or they're going to be...
Yeah, we had a word for that back in the 60s. It was called uptight.
Yeah.
Uptight. Remember that word?
Yeah, bad uptight.
Yeah, when was the last time you heard somebody say uptight? Now, you haven't heard that in a long time, huh?
Uh-uh.
That's uptight, baby. That's really uptight.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's uptight to the point of just like it's ready to snap. You know, it's tighter than a gnat.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway... I love you, bro.
All right, you take care, man.
I want to catch a little bit of Overman here before I go.
Yeah.
I want to hear who calls in next and see if anybody comes up. By the way, everybody, before I got on here, the topic was 9/11, and it was the plane going down. But get back to the topic because I'm a jerk and I pulled it off topic.
Nah,
bye.
You did great, Mitch. Thanks,
bye, everybody.
Later. Love Mitch. I love that kind of energy. Go. No, well, you know, it's the Star Trek. They kept it. They put things in our ears. That's what it's like when you listen to right-wing radio. You don't get Mitch on right-wing radio. You don't get the quality of caller on right-wing radio that you get here. Progressive radio is interesting. It is interesting conversation. At least it's interesting to me. It gets my blood going. You know, one of the problems I have around here is, you know, the show ends at 10 o'clock Eastern time, and by the time I'm done talking with you guys, I'm stoked. So suddenly getting to sleep is something that happens at like 2 and 3 in the morning. It makes for a rather dicey proposition. But there's a ton of stuff out there for us this evening, not the least of which is this revelation of these NORAD tapes. You know, I honestly thought about whether or not I wanted to play this audio for you, because in many ways I thought it might be unfair. But at the bottom line, I believe in people's right to know, and right to hear, and right to form your own conclusions. I breezed right past something that Mitch picked up. Maybe there was a plane that went down northeast of Camp David, because there's a hell of a big difference between northeast of Camp David and Shanksville, PA. Isn't there? And, of course, you know, the audio, the video is out there of Rumsfeld describing that plane that got shot down, and the next day he did come back and, oh, that was a misstatement. That needs a clarification. Yeah, you know, this is the clarification administration. And because we cannot trust these people, and I'm not talking about government in general, I'm talking about, in particular, Republican administration, I am not a crook.
Well, I do not remember if I traded arms for hostages. I don't have a recollection of whether I remember if I traded arms for hostages. I don't have a distinct sensation of a recollection of a remembrance of whether I traded arms for hostages. Lucky me, I hit the trifecta.
It's Republican administrations, and people lose their faith in government. I heard on Mark Levine's Inside Scoop this afternoon, he had an absolutely fascinating guest by the name of Bill Samuel. Bill Samuel is the legislative director of the AFL-CIO, and the nature of the discussion was why the South is the way it is vis-a-vis the Republican Party. And among a host of reasons that Bill brought out, Mr. Samuel, was that the Republicans have been terribly, terribly effective at trying to convince people that government is incapable of doing anything good for the people. And that as a consequence of that, people have been inured against looking for the good in government. And that's true. The Republican Party took ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. They took that out. They put it on its knees. They slit its pretty little throat. They opened its guts, dumped it on the ground, burned them, drove stakes through them, threw them in a hole, and buried it. The likes of Grover Norquist, you know, our goal is to weaken the federal government to the point where you can drown it in a bathtub. These guys say these things, but we're progressives, we're liberals, we know they say these things. But what about, you know, what about the guy in Op, Alabama? Has he ever heard Grover Norquist's words? Does the guy in Left Hand, West Virginia know? Does he know that this tax cut for Paris Hilton that's tied to the minimum wage hike, does he know that a working guy living in poverty with his couple of kids and his wife, that he's going to have to trade a $1 million tax break to get two stinking more dollars an hour for his sweat and busted knees and bloodied knuckles? Does he know that? You know that. That is the mission of what we're doing here. And we are doing our dead level best to talk to the guy in op and the lady in left hand. And to change the way we think about government, to re-empower people to understand that it is theirs, and if they want it to be good, they will have to make it be good. But it will not be good as long as the likes of Cheney and Bush and their filthy Pentagon brass inhabit Washington. Blaming people, watching tragedies unfold, and powerless to do anything about it, screw them. It's time for a break. You want to get involved? Please do. Take Mitch's exhortation to heart. 877-443-2366 is the phone number. Email comes roaring in to bob@headonradio.com. Learn it, know it, use it. I am Bob. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell. Chaos is in the air as Northwest Airlines flight attendants reject the company's second contract proposal. As soon as the company received word of the rejection, it said it would impose heavier terms as allowed by a bankruptcy court judge. Represented by the Association of Flight Attendants, they fired back, threatening job actions and a potential strike.
The clock is ticking. And August 15th at 9:01 p.m., chaos could arrive at Northwest.
Corey Caldwell is spokesperson for the union. She explained why the union believes the contract was voted down.
The cuts to wages and benefits that the judge had outlined were just too deep. And I think it's something that could resonate with every single person, whether you're in the aviation industry or not. Imagine if you woke up tomorrow and in your company took away 40% of your wages and benefits. It's a huge sacrifice, and one that the flight attendants they can't make.
The Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association has been on strike against the airline for nearly a year. They are scheduled to hold a negotiating session with Northwest on August 15th.
Workers standing shoulder to shoulder is what solidarity is all about, and Starbucks should be ashamed of what it's doing.
Industrial Workers of the World Starbucks organizer Daniel Gross. Gross says Starbucks is threatening to fire him for offering mutual aid and support for fired New York City Starbucks union activist Evan Winterscheidt. Gross says Starbucks interrogated him about his union activities, violating a National Labor Relations Board settlement reached in March.
This campaign depends on working people in their communities taking a stand. We need a movement to take on the Walmarts, the Starbucks, and the McDonald's. Together, we can win.
New NLRB charges are being filed against Starbucks. Gross says people who want to support him and the other Starbucks union activists can go to StarbucksUnion.org. Wisconsin's American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees is working to defeat a state constitutional amendment banning gay marriage. Wisconsin AFSCME People Conference political director Brian Weeks says such a ban could legally wipe out all domestic partner benefits negotiated by unions.
It attacks workers' rights and attacks labor unions' rights to collectively bargain.
Here's today's economic report. Inflation is at a four-year high, according to the U.S. Commerce Department. Consumer spending is slowing, and the U.S. savings rate has been negative for 15 straight months. It's another sign that working families across the nation are being tapped out by the combination of rising prices, stagnant wages, and an inability to save anything substantial from their paychecks. Another sign of working family economic distress is in housing. There were more contracts to buy homes in the past 2 months, but home sales are down, indicating many of the contracts were canceled. You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You know what? My engine's revving to go. It's revving up. How about yours? And if it's not, you know what? If your engine is not revving up, you know what you need? You need a Holy Ghost enema right up your rear end. He will not tolerate anything else. Say, I've never seen this part of you. Let me tell you something. Whoa. When you allow the Spirit of God and you don't worry.
Welcome to Wednesday Night Prayer Meeting with your host, Brother Bob Kincaid. Put your hands together, raise your eyes to the light, and welcome him. The truth will set you free. And now, here is Brother Bob Kincaid.
The collection plate is passing to your left. Just pass it on to the left, and no making change. No making change out of a dollar in the collection plate, please. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. It's Wednesday night. It's our prayer meeting edition. Email. Yeah. Couple of notes in here I thought you might find interesting. First of all, from our friend Bernie. The seven words that can't be mentioned while we butcher and maim, don't kill the little stem cells or let women exercise their rights to control their own personhood, but it's okay to kill children across the world if they get in the way of the self-aggrandizing greed of these stalwart, pious representatives of Christian faith. Give that a big WTF. The hypocrisy smells like a three-day-old fish. He says, lest I forget my manners. Hello, Agnes. You guys... It's like a cult of personality here with this Agnes thing. From our good friend Rick, psychologist Rick, down in Texas. Yeah, I'm here, Rick says, but I can't call in for hearing those tapes have stilled my voice. I know the feeling. In reply to what you asked about George Bush, he says he let it slip that he wishes that he did not have as many birthdays. In other words, he wishes that he went out on top. You may at this time ask if he is suicidal. I hope not, for he's the type to only consider a murder suicide. Think about what that would mean to America. Rick says, my thoughts on murder suicide are that the only problem is they get it in the wrong order. Do the suicide first.
Exactly.
And he says, live long. And P.S., Rick thinks Agnes is cool.
Thank you.
All right. You're gonna make me have to hook up a new show for Agnes.
I love you guys.
We Love Agnes Hour. How's that?
Don't make him jealous, guys.
I'm not jealous. Oh, it's that endearing little tee-hee-hee. That's what gets it. That's what that's what hooks him, Agnes.
Yeah.
And, well, I posted a little notation today. Sometimes I can't resist. There was a series of six photos of Dear Leader getting off. Now, see, here I go talking about photographs on the radio again. This is a guaranteed loser. But no, over at WD40.com, there was a series of six photographs of Dear Leader trying to dismount an airplane. And the sixth photograph, for those of you, I mentioned the other night that I watched The Producers, which, the musical, Nathan Lane, Roderick Crawford, what's his name, Matthew Broderick?
Matthew Broderick.
Thank you. Yeah. Bueller, yeah. I bet he hates hearing that. Bueller. But there's this. So I watched the movie the other night. And in the big production number, Springtime for Hitler. you can't say that without laughing. The really over-the-top queen who winds up having to play Hitler comes out and he does this pose while he's singing Heil Me. If you've seen the film, go and look at this photograph and see if it's not the very same body angle as the Roger Debris character singing Heil Me. It is. I promise it is.
WD-40.
I mean, we ought to take that one little shot and put it next to the picture of Dear Leader trying to get off the airplane and put it on the website. Because they're the same guy. And after all, it's worth remembering. And I'm not gooning on anybody for however that. No, it's about the hypocrisy. It's worth remembering that Dear Leader frequently uses the word fabulous. And talked about what a pretty mouth the Canadian Prime Minister's assistant had. Your name's Scott? I got a Scott too, but he's not near as pretty as you. You got a pretty mouth. No kidding. This program goes all over the world, and I never know when some guy in Bangladesh or some guy who's teaching people to do telemarketing in Bangalore is gonna tune in and go, no, he didn't. Because after all, there are more English speakers in China and India than there are in the United States. Ooh. But from time to time, I feel compelled to, oh, yeah, he really said that. He really, really did. Boy, I went to the sure do got a pretty mouth thing, and the chat room started on the deliverance lines. Reminds me of that great parody song, Ned Beatty Had the Hardest Part, done to the Tom Petty tune. Back to Earth. Because there's something here that I wanted to get to for you. Wanted to share with you. Well, there's a bunch of things I wanted to share with you. It's prayer meeting night. But you remember, well, the diehards will. When I was trying to quit smoking, do you remember what happened? It was a weekend, and I called the smoking cessation hotline. And I got the answering machine telling me, thank you for calling the smoking cessation hotline. The smoking cessation hotline is open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, Eastern Time. Please call back then. This is not something you say to a guy who's on a bad, bad Jones. And my nicotine Joneses are bad. Well, that was frustrating. This is just downright cruel, evil, heartrending. From a blog, Pam's House Blend, an excellent blog. And Pam writes that another blogger, Terrence at the Republic of Tea, has a call to action on yet another program being unraveled by the Bush administration that affects many people at risk, including lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered youth. Wait for it. I mean, wait for it. Here it comes. Steel yourself for your outrage. Agnes, you're going to love this. The 1-800-SUICIDE line is in trouble. The government has ceased its funding for this important resource and wants to roll services into one of its agencies. That's right. That's right. $9 billion lost in the sofa of the Coalition Provisional Authority by Jerry Bremer while he was working on getting that Presidential Medal of Freedom. Hey, you're doing a heck of a job, Jerry. Yeah. $9 billion lost. And, you know, what's it cost to pay, come on, minimum wage, no benefits, or for the administrator, mind you, never mind the volunteers. You know, this is the kind of thing that's usually staffed by volunteers. We are talking about chump change here. We're probably talking about not even as much as it costs to buy a crate of M16s so that the battle-tormented soldiers who lose their cookies can go and blow away villages. You know, Haditha. We're not talking billions here. The 1-800-SUICIDE line is in trouble. The government has ceased its funding for this important resource and wants to roll services into one of its agencies. Pam at Pam's House Blend writes, with teenage suicide being the third leading cause of death between 18 to 24-year-olds, well, there's another little stinging indictment of our nation. The third leading cause of death. It ain't cancer. It's not heart disease. You know, I imagine car wrecks between 18 and 24-year-olds. Car wrecks, yeah, one, maybe. I don't know what two would be. What kind of diseases strike 18 to 24-year-olds? Gunshot violence. Mm-hmm. Number three is suicide. Mm-hmm. Our government should not be duplicating prevention efforts, but helping fund the many local organizations and nonprofits with proven track records on prevention. In addition, our government should not be in the business of having access to this private and sensitive information. Because what? Because why? That's right. One of the reasons, oh, wait for it, sunshine, one of the reasons that they want to cancel the 1-800-SUICIDE line and roll it into a government agency is because they want the data from the callers.
Do you remember back when Bush wanted to make it mandatory for all children to be screened for mental illness? Do you remember that?
No, I remember it well.
You realize with the way things are going, they took away the newborn screening program?
Wait, darling. Wait. Please wait. I remember that. I remember when the Bush budget proposed eliminating funding altogether for the Traumatic Brain Injury Foundation. At a time when the defining wound, the defining injury coming out of George Bush's filthy little meat grinder in the sand is exactly that, traumatic brain injury. You might recall that the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Service Administration, which came under fire from the fundies back in February of last year, agency officials were forced by the Bush administration after the White House received hopping mad calls from the Family Research Council's Tony Perkins to remove all lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered references from a federally funded suicide prevention conference in California and to kill gay-positive content from the SAMHSA site. Well, despite the fact that almost 2 million callers have received help and hope over the last 8 years, and a government-funded evaluation stated the benefits of 1-800-SUICIDE, that same organization, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, a division of Health and Human Services, a division of Beatrice, has decided to create their own government-run system where they would have direct access to confidential data on individuals in crisis. No, dear. No, I'm not making it up. It's real.
Oh, I realize that. Yeah.
This is, no, but it goes on. I wouldn't be doing this on prayer meeting night if there wasn't a reason. The Bushistas also suggested a session on faith-based suicide prevention. This is dealing with that conference in California. They threatened the conference's funding. So, you know, SAMHSA has been belittled, battered, and bewildered. God, that's a song, isn't it? No, that's Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered. Battered, belittled, and bewildered. To the point now that one of the true great outreach efforts in this country, an effort that has tangible results in the form of mothers and fathers not burying their young children from suicide, is going to die. It's going to die because we have the money, this country, and we can run up the debt, this country, to FedEx bombs and jet fuel to Israel to kill little children in Cana, to create more rubble piles with more little three-year-old arms sticking out of them, to create more blasted eardrums and jellied brains and jellied innards from the concussive force of the blasts that you and I taxpayers pay Israel to do that to little Lebanese children with. We got the money for that. But as my friends would say, we don't got the money for 1-800-SUICIDE. We got the money. The Vulcans are in charge. Remember, they call themselves the Vulcans, Condi and Romney and all of those cretins. They call themselves the Vulcans. The Vulcans have run the numbers, and they know that we can afford a tax break for Paris Hilton. We can afford a tax break for, married the rich old dude in litigation. Come on, help me.
I tried to forget.
Playboy Bunny.
Anna Nicole.
Yeah, Anna Nicole Smith. We can afford. We got it in the budget for a tax cut for Anna Nicole Smith. This is not about that. Stop it with the misogyny. This is not about woman hating. This is about being less than thrilled with the rich. We got it in the budget here. Okay, let's balance things out. We got it in the budget for a big old tax break for Tom Friedman. All right? But we don't got it in the budget for the Traumatic Brain Injury Foundation. We don't got it in the budget for 1-800-SUICIDE. We don't got it in the budget for newborn hearing screenings, for God's sakes. This is your America. This is the America that, yeah, they're trying to convince the dude in op. Do you see a bass? I think that was a bass. And down the lake he goes. They're trying, you know, this is your government trying to convince the guy in op that government is a failure, that government can do no good. The Bush clip. One of these days I gotta ratchet it up a little notch so we can call these things up when need be. But Bush said, governments can't love. A government is incapable of love. Governments can govern. This is them. Those are they. Money for bombs, but not for butter. And you know, frankly, I'm coming to a place where, with the minimum wage debate, I'm so disgusted that we would make the working poor wait two, three years to get to $7.50 an hour, $7.50 an hour. 3 years they got to wait. Now, in the 9 years since the minimum wage was raised to $5.15, mind you, Congress has had a $30,000 raise. Do they care to do the hourly rate increase on that, boys and girls? But the guy who changes your oil, the guy who you know, down at the garage, make sure that when you press the brake on the brake pedal on your car actually stops instead of running through that busload of children. That guy, he's got to wait 2 years. To go from 5:15 to 7 1/4. We are so screwed. We are so blued, tattooed, and hoodooed. Why in the hell are we talking about 7 1/4 an hour? Why are we not talking about $9? Why aren't we talking about a nice round even 10? Why aren't we talking about paid family leave? Why? Because my party is scared. Many in my party think that if they just sit still and wait, you know, it's the old Asian maxim about, and I don't remember who said it, okay? But if you sit by the river long enough, the body of your enemy will float by. This is the current thinking of the Democratic Party. Or at least a lot of the Democratic Party outside of Howard Dean, who wants to just go and start raising hell. God bless him. If we just sit still, the Republicans will implode. It's that, you know, they think that they're sitting in some spaceship watching a neutron star collapse. Ooh, this is going to be good. And so we can't be proactive. I got a news flash for you. $7.50 an hour, 3 years from now, is no help to the working poor. Of course, it would also be considerably helpful if they would pass the Employees' Free Choice Act. And those minimum wage workers could stop being minimum wage workers and start being union workers with pensions and benefits in a damn hurry. But for starters, no. 7 1/4 is no bargain. It's not even a bargain if you pull it out and take it away from the Paris Hilton tax cut. It's not a bargain if you pull it out and extract it from the Abandoned Mine Lands Reclamation Act that's part of all this. It's not a bargain if you pull it out and take it away from the snake oil hoodoo small business association, invent your own health insurance company provisions of this. It's no bargain. $7.50 an hour is no bargain when gasoline is $3 a gallon. Consider an 8-hour day. A guy's got, and you know, he lives, 20, 25, 30 miles from work. I mean, that's not unreasonable around here, and it's certainly not unreasonable in cities where you've got where he's got to commute, say, from the bad part of town to the good part of the Tony part of town where he works his job as a barista. That guy's got to work half a day every day to pay for the gas to get to and from work. And by the way, the National Restaurant Association worked in a little dandy in there, too, where, they want the tips back, okay? They want the tips. Does it make you want to scream? If you want to scream, we're here for your scream. You're welcome to. It's not good for you to bottle that kind of stuff up. This is the Head On Radio Network. Think of it as a little sandbox where you can kick up the sand and pound your fists and, yeah. I'm Bob Kincaid. Another owner in the night, blinded by the light.
Yeah.
This is the Quality News Network. Israel has released a video. It says proves that the hospital its soldiers raided yesterday was in fact one of the headquarters for Hezbollah. 10 militants were killed and 5 others captured in the raid near the Syrian border. But Hezbollah maintains that the hospital was not a headquarters and that the 5 people who were captured are civilians. Meanwhile, CNN reports that Israeli aircraft are now striking Hezbollah targets in South Beirut. At least 15 Lebanese civilians were also killed today in rocket attacks, including 4 children. Also, Hezbollah fired a rocket 42 miles into Israel, its deepest strike yet. An Israeli American was also killed in a volley of more than 200 rockets. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert says the fighting will continue until an international peacekeeping force arrives. But no one is volunteering yet. UN diplomats debated a draft resolution about sending in a peacekeeping force today, but say they haven't reached an agreement. In Iraq today, 53 people were killed in scattered violence, including 11 children and 2 Americans. Still, Iraq's president says Iraqi forces will be able to take over security for all 18 provinces by the end of the year. CNN and AP say evidence collected by the Pentagon supports accusations that Marines deliberately shot and killed 24 civilians in Haditha last November. The military is still weighing whether to file criminal charges. Meanwhile, one of the Marines has filed a defamation lawsuit against Congressman John Murtha. On Capitol Hill, lawmakers are taking workers' tips into consideration as they debate a new minimum wage bill. In most states, tips make up for less pay, but 7 states now allow workers to keep tips in addition to their normal wages. If the bill passes, it would cut $3 or more an hour from thousands of workers' paychecks. In Washington, the National Guard's top general confirms that more than 2/3 of the Guard's 34 brigades are not ready for combat. He says that's because of equipment shortages, which could cost as much as $21 billion to correct. Tropical Storm Chris blew through part of the Caribbean today, forcing some evacuations and cruise ships to alter their courses. Forecasters say it could hit Florida this weekend. And record-breaking heat continues from St. Louis to Boston, with numerous deaths attributed to the high temperatures. Utility companies say customer demand has reached or exceeded record highs. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Drug company Merck has been found not liable for causing heart problems for a California man who took the painkiller Vioxx. 16,000 more lawsuits involving Vioxx are still pending. The FDA and representatives from Bar Pharmaceuticals will meet next week. A decision on whether to sell the company's morning-after pill, Plan B, over-the-counter could come in several weeks. U.S. mortgage applications fell last week to their lowest level in more than 4 years. The Mortgage Bankers Association says its seasonally adjusted index dropped 1.2%. Chrysler is recalling more than 832,000 Jeep Liberty SUVs because of steering problems. The recall covers models from 2002 to 2006. Officials in India are cracking down on child labor. Starting in October, children under the age of 14 will no longer be able to work as domestic servants or in hotels, restaurants, and other recreational centers. Google has struck a deal with XM Satellite Radio. Its advertisers can now automatically insert ads on the radio company's non-music channels. Starbucks has reported a 16% jump in third-quarter profits. The company plans to open 2,000 new stores worldwide this year and 2,400 in 2007. Lightsweet Crude settled at $75.81 today. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 74 points, NASDAQ up 17, S&P 500 up 7. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
We're not done. Oh, no. Not by a long shot. You want to know how much 1-800-SUICIDE costs? I mean, governmental chump change. 1-800-SUICIDE costs $266,000. The Pentagon, literally, you could shake that out. You could shake that out of General Jack D. Ripper and Buck Turgidson's couches at the Pentagon. I mean, Don Rumsfeld sneezes that into his hanky. Condi probably has that in her shoe closet. But you see, well, you know. And it's, you know, it's not just the 18 to 24-year-old demographic. I've got a very dear friend who, I'm not going to lie, lives in a state of perpetual despair. He's not crazy. He's not nuts. He's got an IQ a good 40, 50 points better than me, whatever mine is. Yeah. 92 in the shade. And he just wants to die. And he's called that hotline. And they've talked him off the ledge. They've helped him find hope. But you see, gay people use this because in this society that wishes gay people would go into the closet and commit suicide there, this is a problem. This is a problem for the Family Research Council. This is a problem for the American Family Association. This is a problem for Focus on the Family, because you see, they're bigots and they're hate-filled and they're sick little creepy little monsters. $266,000. Because, and you know what, are you surprised? Hell no, I'm not. Why would you be surprised that it turns out that the government wants to form its own little hotline wherein they don't have to be bothered with federal courts and they can database every single individual who calls in and says, I want to die. You know, whether it's my boyfriend left me, my girlfriend left me, I lost my job, my wife left, my partner left, my dog died. Sky's blue, sky's rainy, it's February, I live where it always rains. I just found out I got a terminal illness. For some reason or another, the Bush administration wants to database that stuff. Why? Could it have anything to do with what I, from time to time, refer to as the Sovietization of the United States, where insanity is the diagnosis that you use to send the dissidents off to the gulag? One bed, no waiting. St. Elizabeth's, right next to the Hinckley. Can you still hear the lambs, Clarice? Do you suppose your congressman knows this is going down? Do you suppose it would do you any good to give your congressman a buzz, send your congressman an email, your congressperson? That's okay. This is a terrifying place. Let's travel. Armchair traveling. I remember being a little boy, and my dad would be sitting there looking at the Rand McNally Atlas, and I'd climb up on the arm of the chair, and we'd travel together, and we'd look at the places where he always hoped to go, maybe go and see some of his old Navy buddies. Pocatello, Idaho. Bisbee, Arizona. St. Louis. Let's travel to, Davenport, Iowa. Now, it turns out there was a July 17th visit by Vice President Dick Big Time Cheney. July 17th, he was visiting to do some stumping for some Republican Congress critter. His name's Mike Whalen, the Repig. And a lady named Kathy Berta, a retired elementary school teacher. Now, dear, don't eat the glue. 66 years old. She's a member of Progressive Action for the Common Good of the Quad Cities, of which I assume Davenport is a part. So, you know, she gets wind of Big Time Dick's visit. And this 66-year-old lady, she a granny? I don't know. Old enough to be. So they line they line the road, she and some other protesters, with signs saying things like, no, you can't have my rights, I'm still using them. But, you know, just because they also happen to be Americans and happen to love their country, no matter what the Hannity job or the phlegm ball or falafel boy says, they happen to love their country. So, you know, in one hand you got the sign, the other hand they got an American flag on a little stick. You seen this story? The police came and confiscated the flags because the sticks were terrorist threats.
You gonna poke an eye out with that?
Don't run. Don't run with that. You could die when you poke your eye out with that flag stick. Don't you come looking to me for sympathy.
Are they vampires?
Yeah. The cops came along and confiscated the flags of about 120 people along River Road next to the Mississippi River. Because it was, in fact, a terror threat. They took away the flag sticks. They took away a big peace flag on a pole. And then a guy named Jeff Cook shows up, a photographer for the Quad City Times. He starts taking pictures of the cops taking away the flags and the sticks. And no sticks. And the cop looks at him and says, "Don't take any pictures." And the photographer says, "Of who?" And he says, "Of me and my partner." Ka-click, ka-click. Motor drive. So three or four more times they tell him to quit it. Stop that. Stop taking those pictures. Those are felonious pictures. Stop taking those pictures. Those pictures are a threat to Homeland Security. Then the cop walks over and says, "I told you not to take any photographs. I'm going to have to ask you to stay behind." Oh, God, he was left behind. And then the supervisor shows up and says, "You boneheads, he's got a right to take pictures." Damn, lost that one. So, welcome to America. Welcome to 2006. Welcome to First Amendment. We don't need to think of First Amendment. Welcome to what happens when Americans are too cowed, too lazy, You know, the majority of Americans. Remember, Bush got his ass handed to him in the general election by the popular vote. Welcome to the America where the voters who did that did not care enough to go and see that their will be done. I read a column today by someone who said he's ashamed not to be a Mexican because the Mexicans are willing to stand up for their government. Why don't they go back there? Oh, no. We did not stand up to our government, and so 5 years later, 66-year-old retired elementary school teachers, honey, don't put the Play-Doh down your pants, have their flag sticks taken. Wait, if you take the stick out of the flag and you make a person hold them in their sweaty hands in the 107-degree Davenport, Iowa heat, does that constitute flag desecration, officer-friendly? And, of course, it was done at the instigation of the Secret Service, who, when queried, said, if he were only following orders, if he wasn't there, if he didn't do it, and if even if he was only following orders. I don't know. God almighty. Iowa? The heartland? Flag waving? But see, no. If you're a protester, no flag waving for you because you're a commie. You're a freak. You hate mother. You eat chopped up fetuses on your breakfast cereal, you liberal. You can't have a flag. No flag. Nip it. Jesus. Let's take a break. It's coming up on 17 minutes after the hour. I'm in that Star Trek other world thingy where Spock has a goatee. I don't know. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There's a place on the web you can go where everything is so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there working hard for you every day. It's a place where you can go to raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. So stop on by. The 101st Fighting Keyboardists of Kansas are ready to hear your opinion. There are topics of news, current events, and great humor. So let Clyde, Wally, and Dookie know that you're a working person too. WD40.com. Stop on by.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Yeah.
John, I just heard you got a new computer. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's the coolest thing.
What'll you do with your old computer?
I don't know. I guess I'll just throw it away.
Well, my company just bought new computers, and we decided to donate the old PCs to a place that gives them to local schools. You could do something like that.
Seriously, who would want a 3-year-old computer?
Hey, it might be great for someone else. Computers can be refurbished and reused instead of ending up in the trash. By passing it on, you can help the community and the environment.
If you're replacing your company's IT equipment or you're finished using your personal computer, pass it on to a local organization that accepts computers. To learn more, log on to epa.gov/passiton. This message was brought to you by EPA, Dell, Intel, HP, NEC, Philips, and this radio station on behalf of EPA's Plug Into eCycling Partnership. EPA does not endorse any commercial services or products of these groups. For information on all partners, log on to epa.gov/plugin.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour and straight to the phones. David from Tennessee calling in. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Well, hello, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing quite well. Just looking around a little bit here, and I happen to notice something. Once again, the head-on radio network and Bob Kincaid has scooped even something as prestigious as National Public Radio.
Ooh, ooh.
If you go to the main homepage of National Public Radio, you will see in the feature block, Song of the Day, a folk rock singer gets less polite.
That's our buddy Will.
Will Kimbrough's folk rock presents the best of both genres. Now, I don't know if there's interview or anything else to go with it, but it is featured prominently. I would have to say, based on the size of their homepage, it's above the fold on their website, and it was just put up hours ago.
Well, good for Will.
And good for you.
I hope he'll still talk to us when he's huger.
I kind of think he will. You were there before National Public Radio on this one, so he remembers. You know, he's not going to run away from those that got him there.
Hey, you never know. We may have even sold some records by now.
I would fully expect that you did. There was a little bit of a time lag. I sent you an email that I thought had a possible nice juxtaposition as far as what the administration values and what they don't value.
Yeah.
You didn't mention my little blurb, but my little quip.
No, I haven't gotten there yet.
Well, just think about this for a few minutes, knowing what it takes to protect at the local level a traveling poobah like Five Deferment Dick.
Yeah.
That area of Iowa and northwestern Illinois spent more on security than that hotline cost per year. I'll bet you $100. And certainly the cost of the trip to the American taxpayer would be 3 or 4 times greater than that $200,000 it takes to run a hotline. There you are.
Yeah, for Dick Cheney to go and sleaze around for a congressman from Iowa who probably thinks that blastocysts are babies.
I don't
doubt that in the least, and I'm not going to take the bet, David, because the city of Charleston, West Virginia, got hung out to dry for the security costs for Dear Leader's visit on July 4th a couple of years ago. It was a public visit where people who didn't like George Bush were not allowed to enter, and the city of Charleston ate, dear God, $500,000 bucks, I think.
Cha-ching, we have a winner. And now they want to, based on what you found out, they want to download the information. They want to log the information. They want that for two reasons. They want to crack back. They want to have it in their record. Should somebody ever do that and ever question them? But they also, you know, it's like leads for the religion industry. Oh, here, Mr. Robertson, you get this one. This is a gay kid in Tulsa. He thinks he needs to commit suicide. Well, the next one, oh, this is a girl that loves a girl in Denver. Oh, Mr. Wildman, you get this one. It's religious leads. Rather than wanting to, you know, sell you some magazines or a little timeshare, they can stick two or three Bible-toting nutcases on those poor kids.
Of course you want to commit suicide. You're gay. You're evil. The devil's inside you.
Oh, but you haven't. You, like some of the Jews during the rapture, may do, in a big mistake in their life, you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and turned away from this hideous homosexuality. Walter! Bring me the sword. I got another.
Oh, I shouldn't laugh. I shouldn't laugh. I should not laugh, David. Because it's true.
I want to propose. You've got prayer meeting. I want to propose another day of the week.
All right.
It will be a criticism-free zone for the Republican Party. I want it to happen once a week.
Oh. Man, that's dead air.
Hold on for a second.
All right.
You knew there was another shoe.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah. Thought you might have been into the Añejo a little early this evening, David.
Pour me another in there, Berkey.
Yeah, no, well, I'm not nearly as thin as you're drunk. I am, Ossifer. No, we're not going to talk about Mel Gibson.
Never mind. Only thing you can talk about that night on criticism-free night, the only thing you can talk about is what you and I and every Democrat hasn't done in the previous week to get these bastards out of office.
That might be a five-hour show.
If we do our job, we can get 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 bucks an hour sometime in February. We can overturn this hideous majority that the Republicans have in both houses. We don't have to wait for pig eyes to get out of the way. If we eliminate their majorities in one or the other house, we stand a chance of separating Paris Hilton and anybody with a 5 bazillion estate getting to keep all of it so that the landed gentry can even be more gentrified and more landed and no taxes.
Well, and that's the thing. This is an estate tax. What does it even matter to them, David? They're going to, I mean, you know, George Bush said it best. You know, there ain't going to be no history. We're all going to be dead. They're going to be dead. What does it matter?
Well, for those that vote Republican that don't sign on to the rapture, they want to know that, you know, $25 billion fortune they've put together by being the CEO of some company just before it went out of business in a golden parachute, make sure that 50 generations of them can live off of it until hell freezes over. But
well, you know, I mean, that's like that's like Tim LaHaye. Newsweek just peed on its own shoelaces. They gave it's bad enough. It was CNN, and then it was ABC, and Diane Sawyer, and Robin Roberts, and you remember that. And now it's Newsweek with an exclusive interview with author Tim LaHaye, who believes that Jesus is coming soon. But you know what? I read the interview, David. There's not a word in there about how he sold off all of his annuities because he's just not going to need them.
Well, of course not. He doesn't want to injure the little people by starting a, you know, a stampede at the market. Jesus has been scheduled for a reemergence once every, 6 to 8 years? For how long?
This has been a more anticipated tour than the next reemergence of Boston.
The band, not the big dig, right?
Right.
Yeah, got it. So I'm serious. We should have a night where we talk about what we really haven't done, and we should use it as a big sharp stick right where it would make us go the right direction. And I won't be any more graphic than that.
Get along now. Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly.
Woo-hoo, woo-hoo.
Woo-hoo!
There you go.
Yeah, that one.
Well, it is.
No, it's not. It's not a bad idea. But then again, I find myself doing that rather frequently. I mean, I think
we do, but I want to make sure that I know you do it, and I know that I'm doing it as much to motivate myself because I've got to do some stuff. I got a little bit more time right now.
You're dangerous.
I'm thinking dangerous. I got to start being one of those guys that start pestering people with, you know, handing out stuff and doors and, you know, wait a second, I got a vehicle. Somebody needs a ride. Give me a call. Let me know. Put me on the list. I can only carry two extras, but hey, that's two boats. You know, make them work for it.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know that the way that played out in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
If that had happened in Alabama or Ohio, that little lady would have been on her face, kissing the asphalt. You know, with cracked ribs from some guy putting a boot.
Interesting, you would mention that.
Did I give you a straight line?
Dateline Philadelphia.
Pick 'em, Tiger.
A Philadelphia family said they are outraged, I tell you, over the arrest of one of their family members. The family of, got to get some new glasses, Neftali Cruz, said police had no right to come onto their property and arrest their 21-year-old son simply because he was using his cell phone's camera. They told their story to Harry Hairston and the NBC 10 investigators. I was humiliated. I was embarrassed, you know, Cruz said. Cruz, 21, told the NBC 10 investigators that police arrested him last Wednesday for taking a picture of police activity with his cell phone. Police at the 35th District said they were in Cruz's neighborhood that night arresting a drug dealer. Cruz said that when he heard a commotion, he walked out of his back door with his cell phone to see what was happening. He said that when he saw the street lined with police cars, he decided to take a picture of the scene. I opened the phone and took a shot. Moments later, Cruz said he got the shock of his life when an officer came to his backyard gate. He opened the gate and took me by my right hand, Cruz said. Cruz said the officer threw him into a police car, cuffed him, and took him to jail.
Police say the kid was on his own. I'm sorry, the young man was on his own property?
Bingo.
Demony.
You get a Cupid doll. Yeah. A neighbor said she witnessed the incident and could not believe what she saw.
He opened up the gate and Neffy was coming down, and he went up to Neffy, pulled him down, had Neffy on the car, and was telling him,
you should have just went into the house and minded your own business instead of trying to take pictures off your picture phone.
They threatened to charge me with conspiracy, impeding an investigation, obstruction of an investigation. They said, you were impeding this investigation. I said, by doing what? The officer said, by taking a picture of the police officers with a camera phone.
I'm 2 years ago, I would have been laughing about that because the absurdity of it.
Not anymore.
Would have had the same outcome that happened in Iowa. Somebody, a sergeant or a lieutenant, would have just been shaking his head. What are you doing? But not anymore. Not anymore. You know, the Republican Party wants to see the year 1750. The top one-tenth of 1% has all the money, all the authority, all the privilege, and the rest of us are cleaning out the barn.
Cruz, a Penn State University senior.
Whoops.
Said that after about an hour, police told him he was lucky because there was no supervisor on duty, so they released him. They said if the supervisor was there, I wouldn't be a free man, and he's letting me go because he felt that I was a good person. And then the cops went ahead and lied and said he wasn't on his own property when we arrested him. He was out there impeding the investigation, him and his little cell phone.
Yeah, once the harness bull drug him out of his backyard and out into the alley, yeah, they arrested him on public property.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, if that had been in the Hamptons, there would be a battery of incredibly bright and motivated lawyers. Whatever police district that was in would be broke. They wouldn't, I mean...
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. The supervisor came in. What was you thinking? Philly. On the whole, I'd rather be in Philadelphia. I don't think so, Mr. Fields.
Tough town. They throw snowballs at Santa Claus.
With rocks in them.
You got it. Well, any town that gets its water out of a river named Schuylkill, nicknamed the Shurkill, gee whiz, what do you think they're going to act like?
Now, see, I'm going to get letters from my Philadelphia friends.
Philadelphia?
There's no, hey, look, there's nothing better than a trip to Bookbinders, okay?
Well, yeah, but, you know, I'm sorry. There's Bookbinders and there's the main line, but there's a lot of guys that, you know, in that neighborhood around Drexel where they bombed the MOVE headquarters.
Yeah, well, there's that.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah.
But there's also the Black Cat Cigar Company on Sansom Street.
Don't know about that one.
Well, one of my favorites. But
it looks like the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, but you know, it's interesting. Yeah, it does happen. And you know, that's yeah, David, that's just the presage. I had a story a couple of months ago about some cops in New Hampshire who beat the living stuffing out of a guy who had the audacity to install a video security camera in his home and took pictures of them doing their dirty little work.
It is frightening. End of story.
Yeah.
It is frightening.
What are you looking at? You obstructing me? I think you're obstructing me. Jeepers.
Mm.
I know. David, thanks so much for all the places you took me.
You betcha. Go Will Kimbrough.
Go Will Kimbrough. Later.
See you later.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
How about that? We got another scoop. We scooped NPR.
That's cool.
Bottom of the hour break. We come back. Your thoughts? 877-443-2366. Because if you don't, you get my thoughts. Ooh, scary stuff. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
When his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gather around and started talking, Cousin Billy would take me walking. Up through the backyard, we'd go walking. Then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only one could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man, the only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was, he was. Yes, he was. Being good isn't always easy, no matter how hard I try. When he started sweet talking to me, he'd come and tell me everything is alright. You kiss and tell me everything's alright. Can I get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only one who could ever teach me.
Can you imagine a world without children? A world without their smiles or their laughter? A world where children don't play or sing or dream or imagine?
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, we can't imagine a world without children. That's why we're working every day to find cures for diseases that strike down children everywhere. Diseases like cancer, pediatric AIDS, and sickle cell. And we won't stop until every child is cured and every disease is defeated. Because we can't imagine a world without children. Can you?
Finding cures, saving children. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. To learn how you can help, call 1-800-931-0800 or log on to our website, stjude.org.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Planet Check.
planet check.
Michael Franti from Spearhead talks about the new benefit CD for the nonprofit environmental law firm, Earth Justice.
I'm always involved in Earth Justice as an idea, no matter where I go.
Franti, along with artists Nora Jones, Los Lobos, Willie Nelson, and Bonnie Raitt, donated their music in support of life's absolute necessities, clean air and water.
Music today is not speaking to really what's happening on the streets. It's really important that artists come together, work on projects together, and put out unified voices about what's happening today in our planet.
In the United States alone, more than 70,000 people die per year from air pollution.
Keep on talking now, yes I will.
Music makes a difference. Give it a spin at wherewelive.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Before the hour. Agnes been listening to that modern rock and roll music again.
Queen of the damned.
Now, I mentioned the article in Newsweek. You know, you can go read it for yourself. It's a piece of work. It's an interview with Tim LaHaye, you know, who is richer than... I mean, he's got about a billion times more money than Jesus ever possessed in his life. Questions like, how do you interpret what's happening in the Middle East? Are you seeing signs that these are the end of days? This is Newsweek! Newsweek! News! That happens during the week. News. It's not end-time psychobabble week. That's what Focus on the Family is for. By an erstwhile journalist, I use the term loosely, named Brian Breaker. You mentioned biblical prophecy. I'm not the student nor scholar that you are. Well, I'm not the journalist that you are. Nah, you're not neither, Mr. Layton. No, Mr. Layton. You've also written that millions of unbelievers will be saved during the terrible time of the tribulation. What do you mean by that? But what, you got to get down to the bottom of this thing, because it's really beautiful. Puts me in the mind of the late, great, and I know if there's a heaven, he's in it, Sam Kinison. Remember when he said he wanted to be there on judgment to ask hear Jesus ask Jerry Fowle, where did I say to build a water slide? Question. But is it accurate? Back up. Does this explain how living right with God in a Christian sense would entail supporting the Israeli state right now? This guy's just anointed Tim LaHaye as the spokesman for Christianity. He's the spokesman for the rubber room crowd. I mean, Tim LaHaye in a civilized society wouldn't be allowed in public. He'd be in a rubber room with a purple crayon between his toes, for goodness sakes. I think those two things are related. Christians who take the Bible literally are generally supportive of Israel because God promises to bless those nations that are blessing to Israel and curse those nations that are not. And the history of America bears that out. But is it accurate to equate the state of Israel, which is a geopolitical entity, ooh, big word, Brian, with all Jewish people around the world who far outnumber the people actually in Israel? No, that's just a third of the number of Jews in the world. So believers in the rapture don't necessarily foresee a damnation of the Jews then? No, we don't believe in the damnation of people in ethnic groups.
We believe that's an individual decision. Now, it often follows in people groups. Take the Muslims that we've been talking about. Everybody knows that they do not accept Jesus Christ as a means of salvation from sin. That's the only way you can be saved, is to call upon the name of the Lord. They're not about to do that. Neither are Jews. Correct. But during the tribulation period, there'll be a sea change, and many Jews will accept Christ. Not all. Again, it's an individual decision. And this jackass doesn't have the nerve to follow up, ask the follow-up question. Well, Reverend LaHaye, what happens to the Jews who don't accept Christ? We kill them. Put them to the sword, just like it says in the book. You know, the book that hallucinating, raving madman John, who lived in a cave like Osama, wrote about Rome. You live long enough and eat certain rotten shellfish, and that's all you got because you live on an island somewhere. And pretty soon, you'll start seeing dragons with seven heads, too. And then, of course, he says, Michael Standert is a critic of yours who has written recently in a blog, this is over at Huffington Post apparently, that this belief in the end of the world and a big explosion of violence reflects a spiritual malaise, a hopelessness in humanity, and that you're making money off of fear and hopelessness in your Left Behind series. How do you respond to that? Wait for it. Oh, right over the plate. Oh, it's a long fly ball. I don't think he's going to get to it. I would say that he's just betraying his poverty of faith. If he had faith in the Bible, faith in the future, in Jesus Christ, he'd recognize that our passion is just like the theme song in our books. We don't want anybody to be left behind. But my understanding is that current biblical scholarship reads some of the apocalyptic scenes in the Bible as metaphorically addressing events that were taking place as the Bible was being written. Oh, my God, not a second straight home run. These are usually liberal theologians that don't believe in the Bible literally. You know, don't believe that the earth is the center of the universe and that the sun revolves around the earth and Adam and Eve rode to Sunday school every day on the back of a dinosaur.
And on the third day, God created the Remington bolt action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals.
Amen. But no, the Sam Kinison part? Fill in the blanks. From P.T. Barnum. A blank and his blank are soon blank. You recently donated a whole lot of money for a hockey rink at Liberty University. Go ahead, Agnes. I know you're... just beller it out. Just laugh. Go do it. It's all over you. It's boiling out. It's like a volcano gonna erupt. Just do it. Woohoo! A hockey rink at Liberty University. Let me aim the microphone at her.
Oh, go away. Oh, God.
That's right. That's right, friends and neighbors. It's the Jerry Falwell Memorial Hockey Rink. Why'd you build it, Reverend LaHaye? In the sweet name of Jesus, why did you build it? My strategy. Oh, put your hands in the air, brother and sister. Sit on that subwoofer and feel the vibrations of the Lord. My strategy is that Canada and Northern America produces the bulk of hockey players. We use the ice rink to get the hockey players to come to Liberty University, where many of them are exposed to accept Christ. Many of them come because they are Christians. They are challenged to go into the ministry, and we've already had some of the guys in the earlier classes that graduated, and they're going home to Canada to start churches. Home to heathen Canada. Home to heathen Canada. But then again, there's, you know, it's that much. Canada and Northern America. Because Canada's not part of Northern America. Canada and Northern America
produces the bulk of hockey players. That's right, sir. Name me one. Come on, hockey fans, chat room, help. The Czechoslovakian, the Czech guy, Sergei Lavrovsky-Witz. No Czech hockey players. No Russian hockey players. Well, you know, they folded their program, Bob, after we whooped their ass in the Lake Placid Olympics. Their hockey program was never heard from again. The Swedes don't play hockey? How about the Finns? Oh, the Norwegians, perhaps? I know, the French. Wait, they do. The English do. Bob, most of the hockey players are produced by Canada and Northern America.
Wait, does Wayne Gretzky know about this?
Well, he's from Canada or Northern America. I'm not entirely certain.
And a hockey puck is going to reunite everyone with God, right?
Evangelism with a hockey puck? No, proselytism with a hockey puck? Evangelism with a hockey puck would be better. But if the end times are indeed near, why would there be any point in working toward fostering peace? Right now, the Church of Jesus Christ is busy in the spiritual vein of trying to win people to Christ. We're concerned about the salvation of individual souls. Look, a squirrel. This whole thing has heightened the spirit of evangelism. The walls are breathing. Wars have always done that, but never have we had a war that is so specifically following the pattern of the Scripture.
Wait. I love
Breathe.
Hockey. What? But you go to a fight and then a hockey game breaks out. How is
but
this
it's
supposed
a fight,
to bring peace?
It's a hip check for Jesus, Agnes. Hip checking for Jesus at the Jerry Falwell Memorial Hockey Rink at Liberty University.
Do they have a dental program there?
Oh, my God. It's, you know, and it's not an icing penalty anymore. It's a holy icing penalty.
Down Jesus has a
Yeah. I mean, you know, you get communion when the puck goes in. Oh, God.
Okay. All right.
Lord God. So this person who's mentioned in the article, I went and read his little blog over at Huffington Post. God only knows what you have to do to blog at Huffington Post. They don't like me. This Michael Standard person, I read his blog, and he was highly critical of LaHaye, as, you know, anybody who, you know, has the intellect and IQ of something that's not kept in a bell jar at Ripley's Believe It or Not auditorium would have. But, you know, so it's a blog, so there's all these responses to Mr. Standard's article. Down toward the bottom, you remember Ms. Crawford last week from Gent, West Virginia? Apparently her relations are reading the Huffington Post. Mr. Standard, your statements are so ridicules. That's ridiculous, spelled R-I-D-I-C-U-L-E-S. Your statements are so ridicules. Tim LaHaye speaks for all true Christians. If you're a truly Christian, you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was crucified, died, and rose again, period. This all to pay for our sins, period. Whoever accepts this truth will turn from sin because we are human and will always fall short of the glory of God, period. Christians, that's apostrophe S possessive, Christians also know that Jesus Christ will return again. He came the first time as the lamb, and the second time he will come as the lion to judge the non-believers. Those like you, Mr. Standart. However, that's a different subject altogether. My main point is that these are fundamentally our beliefs in a nutshell. Oh, sister, you said a mouthful. One really huge and vital part to being a Christian is also that we all read the same Holy Bible. Stop it, Bob. One, two, three. And if someone is not a believer of the Holy Bible, they can't consider themselves Christians, comma, all caps, point blank. Therefore, any other book and any other revelation doesn't represent the Christian view belief. You even mentioned Mormons as Christians. Oh, here we go. They have a different book, the one written by John Smith. And Pocahontas. And me, John Smith. Me get with you, Pocahontas. We make little poker chips. The one written by John Smith and some other so-called Latter-day Saints that be confused that they put their faith in. The sad reality is that the Mormon religion is a cult. Oh, really, sister? And should never be confused with Christianity. So before you start talking about how someone who is a Christian really is, I hope I have helped you in that area. Thank you and God bless. Kelly.
That's not real. That's not real.
If it wasn't real, Agnes, I couldn't do this with it.
Oh, my head hurts. Gee, Pocahontas?
Yeah, they believe in a different book, the one written by John Smith. Can we quit now? Are we done for the evening? Can we pass the plate, sing the doxology, and just march on out of our little prayer meeting? Because I've had about all the prayer meeting I can stand.
Thank you, Brother Bob.
Thank you, Sister Agnes.
Brother Bob, I want to thank you very much for a right friendly prayer meeting tonight.
Yes, indeedy. You're more than welcome.
Thank you for letting me bow at the shrine.
Oh, you're always welcome. You are always welcome, darling, darling Sister Agnes. I better quit calling you sister. That's a little gross.
That's gross.
You're my sister. You're my sister.
Leave it alone, Bob.
We will now. No, I'm not going to do that. All right. That's it. The darling, lovely, talented.
Wife.
Oh, wife. Overstressed, mother of four, Agnes produced the program. Brian Reznor announced. John Fox is the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network down in Sydney, Australia. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services is our IT professional. He's in Tallahassee, Florida. Ben Birch in Elgin, Illinois. Man, do we get around Elgin, Illinois. Maintains the streams and the archives and the podcasts of all the programs on the Head On Radio Network. He's also got a fundraiser going on. He's getting close to being done. Why don't you make that happen? Please? Our good friend Gene, the news ninja, maintains the news updates on the headonradionetwork.com website. And the show, and every show on the Head On Radio Network, all 50 hours plus per week of them now, happened because there are thousands of members of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights who get up every day and they go and they build the American dream. And in building the American dream, they make it possible for the Head On Radio Network to try to save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.